All right, you may be seated this morning. They are, t-shirts, that's correct. After church, right after church also, I'm sorry. The Crossbridge t-shirts have came in, and so if you ordered one, they will have the t-shirts up here. So come up and get your t-shirt today, and I think they do have a few extras, very few, but a few extras, so if you didn't order one. Children, second grade and below, you guys can go to Children's Church if you'd like to with Jamie this morning. If you don't, stay in here and holler with us. It's all good. But I want to highlight a few missions. Before I have Alan come this morning, I've got a few missions that just are near and dear to our hearts and that we're supporting in this church financially. Austin Baker, we do have links on Facebook for these, and I can share them again, so if you want to go check them out. But Austin Baker is a local missionary. We're big on local missions, too. He works with an organization called School of the Nations, and it's in Ozark. And literally what they do is they make SIM cards for cell phones. And in a lot of countries around the world, the gospel's not allowed. So I love this ministry. It's kind of like a covert operation, right? They go into like hard to reach people groups and they take the Jesus movie and they have people from that country. They narrate the Jesus movie from whatever country they're going into. And these are primarily countries that are 99% Muslim. Some of them can be very, very dangerous. But they will go in and make thousands and thousands of SIM cards. Because I know it's not a big thing over here, but over there, a lot of people take their SIM cards in and out and watch stuff. And they make SIM cards with the Jesus movie narrated in whatever country they're going to. And these things get passed around. And so it's the gospel going out. I will say this morning that any of these ministries or missions that we highlight, if the gospel isn't involved or God's word isn't going out, we're not doing it. We don't put money towards it because that's the whole point. I mean, there's all sorts of good missions that you can do, but if it's just making someone into a better person or that they would quit using drugs or alcohol, those are great things. We don't want anyone to be addicted to drugs, but if they're still lost, they're still going to end up in hell. So the whole point is the gospel going out. And because we do know when someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they stop using drugs. So we're big on that. So that's one of the things Austin Baker does is the SIM cards. It's a great ministry. We also have ministries, missionaries right now that have started a church in Thailand. Adam Cottrell and his wife, they are in Bangkok, Thailand, which is one of the most sex trafficked areas in the whole world. And so they are there right now sharing the gospel. Building a church, there's people being saved and baptized. I love it because one of our new local missionaries, I believe Caitlin's gone today, out sharing what she's doing. We have another local missionary that's a member here, Caitlin Ledford, that is going to work full-time for an organization called Nightlight. And that's exactly what they do on a local level, is they go and they minister to women and share the gospel with women that are involved in the sex industry right now. And one of the things they do is they also go to Bangkok, Thailand. So a pretty amazing thing that we have a local church in Bangkok, Thailand, that we're going to send one of our local missionaries to that can tie people in over there to one of the local churches we're supporting. So it's all like God working this stuff out. So that's another two people that we do. And then a huge local ministry, obviously we do, is Freeway Ministries. Every Saturday night here at the church, we have the Freeway service, we have dinner, we have a men's house here in Marshfield, and now we have a women's house. And there is flyers. They print out like updates, I guess you'd say, right? Like quarterly updates. You can get all about the ministries here. They keep them on the back page. But the whole point is we're reaching people that have struggled with addiction in their background or have been in prison. And they go through this year-long program, which is extremely difficult to get through and graduate. But it's all gospel-based. It's all centered-based. And so they become followers of Christ. And then a lot of these men will go out and women, and they get involved in ministry. And they start ministering. So right now, we have a missionary in Florida, Trey and Savannah. You guys all know Trey and Savannah. They're running a Freeway in Orlando, in Sanford, Florida, right outside of Orlando. We have Joe Walters. So Trey and Savannah are running a Freeway. We have Joe Walters right now that's pastoring a church in southeast Missouri. What's the name of the town? Do we remember the town? Porgeville, thank you. Down in the Boot Hill. He's from the Boot Hill when he came up here and went through the freeway program. And then he went through college, graduated college, was ordained into ministry. And now he's pastoring a Baptist church in southeast Missouri after coming through the freeway program. And then we have Will Clendenden. Will is running a ministry in Branson, Missouri. Love Will. They used to call him Walmart Will because he'd go into Walmart and steal all the time. And I still talk to him on a regular basis, and Will's doing great. Him and his wife, they're doing ministry down in Branson. And then for the highlight today, right? We have Scott Bates here with us today. And so, Scott, give him a hand. Scott graduated 3 years ago, and he went back to his home community in Louisiana, and you're going to know he's from Louisiana when you hear him talk. My wife said, I had him on the phone last night. We were heading home from Springfield, and she said, I had him on speakerphone, and they heard our conversation. She said, I love his accent. I love the way Scott talks. So you're going to love that this morning. But Scott's pastoring a church in Louisiana, and he came into our elders meeting this morning at 8:30 and shared with us a little bit of his testimony. I think he's going to share that before he preaches this morning, but so the whole thing is the church should be raising up leaders and sending them out. If the church isn't raising up leaders and sending them out, we got a problem, because Jesus said that's exactly what we're supposed to do, go and reach more people. And so that's another one. The last, before Scott comes, I love this ministry. I love the Gideons, because these are business guys that have business or in business, and all they want to do, some of them serve in their local churches, maybe as pastors or whatnot, and deacons or elders, but they want God's word to go out. And so they go around and they raise funds they make Bibles. They have Bibles, and you'll see them, and he'll probably tell you a lot more than me, but they have them in hotels. I love this. So I travel a little bit for my business, and when we're out traveling, I stay in a hotel. I always look for a Gideon Bible. And what I do is I'll open the Gideon Bible to either a passage like Ephesians 2:8-9, Alan said John 14:6. Sometimes I leave my favorite Mark 8:36, for what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? I'll open it to that verse. I'll leave a note on it for the person that's going to be cleaning the room. And I try not to make it a junk fest in there. Usually I'll try to clean up a little bit after myself, but I'll leave some money in there for them. And I leave that verse on there. And when they see that, obviously they're going to go over, and I'm praying that, hey, they read the verse, and that if they're not a follower of Christ, sometimes I'll leave our church card in there with our website on it. So it's just a small way that you can use what the Gideons do to promote the gospel, right? And they go into schools and share Bibles, because God's word has to go out, and it doesn't return void. We know that. So us putting money and finances into sending the Bible out is a good, good thing. And that's what the Gideons do. So Alan's going to come and share with you what the Gideons have been up to for a few minutes, and then we got Scott. So thank you, my friend.
Appreciate you, Pastor Jeff. All right. Uh-oh. What's going to happen next? Well, those aren't my words for this morning, but they are the words that were ringing through my mind as I stood on the south end of the University of Missouri Rolla campus about a year or so ago. And as I stood there, I had a bag right there next to you, Scott. I had a bag full of these, and it was in a time I was at the south end of the campus. There wasn't a lot going on. It was while classes were in session, and I was looking for the next person that might come by that I could share the Word of God with and maybe have an opportunity to witness to. And as I looked out of the corner of my eye, I saw a young man walking towards me, and so I grabbed one of these out of my bag. I had it in my hand. I had a smile on my face, and as he approached me, I said, "Sir, would you like to have a copy of God's Word? It's a free gift." And he shook his head and said no and walked on by. Now, that's not uncommon. That happens sometimes, but in this particular instance, I started looking around for the next person that might come by, and out of the corner of my eye, I noticed that he had taken about 3 steps over to my right, and he stopped. And he was there for a little bit, and that's where the words went through my mind, uh-oh, what's going to happen next? Because you can have some interesting conversations with people when you're doing ministry. And as he turned around, he came back to me, and he said, "Sir, I just wanted to let you know why I didn't take that testament that you offered to me." I said, "Well, by all means, let me know." And he said, "Last year when the Gideons were here, I took one of those testaments," and he said, "I read through it, and I got to the last 2 pages, which lays out the plan of salvation," and he said, "I gave my life to Jesus Christ." I'm now a Christian serving him. And that's why I didn't take it, because I already took one last year. And I said, well, thank you for sharing that testimony with me. But that, guys, that's the power that's contained in the Word of God that we try and put into people's hands. And simply, that's why the Gideons exist. Since 1899, it's been our desire to put the Word of God into people's hands and to share verbally with them so that men, women, boys, and girls have the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're about 250,000 members, Christian business and professional men that serve. We go all around the world. We're organized in some 200 countries, territories, and possessions all throughout the world, and we simply desire to put the Word of God wherever we can. Now, I shared this with you, so you kind of see what we do on campuses, but where are you seeing these big Bibles at? And Jeff already gave the answer away. He said hotels, right? You see those when you go there. We also put them in prisons, hospitals, etc. But I want to share with you briefly, because I don't have a lot of time, but I want to share with you, I have testimony after testimony of men and women telling us that they checked into a hotel room, and the only reason they checked into that hotel room was because they had the desire, there were things going on in their lives, and they didn't want to check out. They wanted to check out of life. They wanted to be done with life. But you know what they did check out? They checked out that Word of God that was in that little drawer in the hotel Bible, and they gave their life to Jesus Christ. They checked out a believer in Jesus Christ. We have testimonies of individuals who have walked into a hotel room for the express purpose of entering into a relationship with someone that would not be holy, it would not be righteous. But what they did is they didn't enter into that relationship, but they entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ because of the message that's contained in this scripture here. We have testimonies of individuals who went into a hotel room to become under the influence of drugs or alcohol, but they didn't do that because they found the scriptures and they left influenced by the Word of God. They gave their life to Jesus Christ. And that's what's exciting to us, is that we are able to do that. In the last 12 months, the year ended May 31st, 2025, just 3 weeks ago, Gideons around the world distributed about 72 million scriptures throughout the world last year. And it's our desire to take that even further in this next 12 months. And we just want to continue to put the Word of God in people's hands. We do things all around the world. We've got Gideons from Marshfield, from Webster County, that have gone all over the world. Malaysia, Malawi. I think David Day was here last year and shared with you about his testimony of going overseas. But all over the world. And then locally, we did 400 scriptures at Marshfield schools in May. We did about 45 at Niangua. We still can't get into Seymour, Rogersville, or Fordland, so pray that God would open up the doors. I was talking to Pastor Jeff earlier. We can't get in at the Holiday Inn here in town. Pray that God would open up a door so that we can put these in the rooms there. We've been banned from doing that at this point. But I just want to share with you that I really appreciate the support that this church has given, because when we talk about guys going overseas to distribute scriptures, it's not the money that you give that pays for plane tickets or hotel rooms or meals or transportation. We pay all those costs on our own. We simply ask the churches to support us in terms of providing the scriptures that we take with us, either in the form of the full Bible or the New Testament that has the plan of salvation in the back. So I just want to say thank you, and I want to leave you with one scripture today, one of my favorite scriptures. I try to read Proverbs every day, the day of the month that corresponds with the proverb. One of my favorites is Proverbs 11:30, which says, "The fruit of the righteous is like a tree producing life, and the one who wins souls is wise." So let's all be wise as we take every opportunity to either give towards getting the scriptures out, or be wise as you personally are sharing your faith with others. There was a man in Sunday school who said he had an opportunity to lead someone to Jesus recently, and it makes my heart glad when I hear that. So be about the faith, promote the gospel, and let's all be wise as we're out there doing God's business. Thank you, Pastor Jeff.
Thank you, brother. I gave him a limited amount of time, but there's one other ministry they do that I absolutely love. When someone passes away, you can fill out cards to donate money to the Gideons that will buy Bibles in that person's name. I don't think there's any other better idea than that. You buy somebody flowers that's your brother or sister in Christ has passed away, those flowers are going to die. Yeah, here you go, in loving memory. Here it is. Those flowers are going to die. God's Word is alive and active. It's never going to die. So you're talking about being able to share a ministry. So I think it's an amazing ministry. So thank you guys. So you'll have an opportunity. The church always gives them money from the church. You'll have an opportunity to support them. He'll be at the back of the church today at the end of the service. So Scott Bates, I'm excited, man. Get on up here. This guy's got some energy. You are going to be awake. Thank you, brother.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. A quick testimony. I know I ain't got much time, but when I came off the street, I was living in a doorway of an abandoned building. When I surrendered my soul to Jesus Christ, before that, I would always play religion. I just didn't want to go to hell. I didn't really care about going to heaven. I just didn't want to go to hell, so I thought I was saved. Really, I was fucking religion. But in my addiction, I found myself abandoned and homeless in a doorway of an abandoned building out there on the East Coast. Well, upon me giving my life, the Lord started moving in a way where an evangelist got a hope to me and knew about this place in Freeway in Missouri, or Springfield. I didn't know nothing about Springfield except for that, I thought, from The Simpsons, right? So they said it's a one-year program where you want to go. At this point, I'd already surrendered my life to the Lord. Jesus Christ did. I was giving mine right back, whatever that looked like. So I fought for 12 months. I was going to go to a detention center, like locked up. I had no idea. But when the undercover cops, you ever saw Law & Order? The Law & Order Special Victims Unit? Those same police officers rode up in the hood that I was in. They jumped out of the car, and they walked up, and they had a milk crate and photo. They put it right next to him. They go, yep, this is him. And they took me, and they threw me in the front of the car, and they took me to the bus station. Now, when I got to the bus station, I was already surrendered to Jesus. I had 12 hours to wait before the bus that was going to bring me to Springfield, Missouri. So what was I going to do? I'm homeless. I got to go to the restroom, so I'm walking around for 30 minutes, and I'm just reading all the memorabilia about this city that I'm in. That took about 10 minutes. What am I going to do this next 11 hours and 50 minutes? So I walked up to the very center of it. There's one little security guard there. This is the middle of COVID. It's August 20, 2020. I said, you got anything I can read? And as he was pulling the drawers like this, here I am, a fragile, broken man, born again, spiritual baby, and he gets to the drawer right in front of me. When he pulls it open, there's like a light shining out of it. And I knew what it was before he gave it. He pulls it out, and it's a Gideon's Bible. And he throws it to me, and I catch it like this, and I held it as tight as I could. And that was my Bible when I got here to Freeway. And I carried that Bible, and I studied that Bible. And the first time I got to preach, I preached the Embassy of Hope during the Timothy Project. And I preached a message on Luke 9:23. And at the end of the service, I asked, does anybody here need to know more about salvation? Anybody need a Bible? And a guy in the very back raised his hand. I didn't have the Bible, but the one I had in my hand. And guess what I did? I passed that Gideon Bible right along. Huh? It's a good ministry, y'all. When I left here... By God's grace, I went back to Louisiana. I went back, everybody, just surrendered to the Lord. I was just going to go back and be a door usher. That's what I was here. That's what I was at Crossway when I was over there for a little while. That was it. I was just going to surrender to being an usher. And when I got there, my grandfather, he was filling supply a lot around the parish of Louisiana. So I decided I was going to drive him. And I'd always drive him to these different pulpits. And one time we got to a little church in the middle of the big woods. That's literally what it's called. 7,500 acres. It's a little bitty church right in the center of it. The nearest church is 10 miles away. And it's dirt roads in. You lose phone service. You don't even have radio service. It's in and out. But as he was filling the pulpit, he looked over there halfway through and said, my grandson's called to preach. You don't even know it. Now, they asked me to come back the next week. The next week, I come back and I preached out of Psalms 42. And then I gave my testimony. I mean all of it. I was transparent with everything. And lo and behold, they related to it. And they started asking me to come back here and there. And over a four-month time on Christmas Day, December 25th, 2022, the deacons pulled me to the side and said, sir, we can relate to you. We want to grow for you. We're giving you the call to come pastor our church. I couldn't believe it. Huh? I am nothing but a child. I'm just being surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, I've been now pastoring that little church after a month of praying for 2.5 years. It started with 7 of us, and now we've grown to about 30. I call us a lighthouse in the middle of the big woods. You know, they're hungry for the Word of God, and we preach the Word. Because I think preaching the Word is the most important thing in any church body. So I stay an hour away before having a relationship with my children. I know I'm talking fast. You're going to have to bear with me and listen fast. Also, there's a little community, there's a little general store called the General Store right there in our community. It is also the grocery store, the lumber yard, the butcher shop, the video store, your clothes, it's everything. And by God's grace, every Sunday at 8 o'clock, I go in for all the employees that have to work. They say, we're going to have church now. And they all come forward, anybody who comes into the store at that time, and we have church. I preach the gospel right there at 8 o'clock, and then I ride for an hour and a half praising the Lord, my music all the way up, just like we're doing here. We got a lot to be excited about, y'all. Jesus is alive. And I praise, and I go preach the word all day long when I minister. And that's pretty much what I'm doing. And Brother John asked me to come back and give my testimony at Freeway, and I asked him. I said, I'm not coming back for vacation. I'm about the Lord's business now. I'm here for the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's why we're all here. So he asked me to preach there. I asked if he could see about me coming preaching and taking the pulpit for Brother Jeff here at Crossbridge. That was part of my saying yes to come, and the Lord is faithful, is he not? Anybody have their Bibles this morning? Y'all ready to eat? Y'all open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to be honest with you. This is not the message that I wanted to preach. As I was preparing this, I wanted to come up here and talk about how to get the most out of a sermon, you know. But I am going to ask each and every one of y'all here, I apologize for the sound of my voice. I will not apologize for the Word of God. But I'm going to ask each and every one of y'all, instead of trying to break my sermon down and evaluate the sermon, if the sermon is biblical, would you please open your hearts and let it evaluate and examine your own hearts. But we're fixing this off the name of Jesus Christ today, okay? The title of this message is The Day That Changes Everything. In history, history records several days that literally changed the course of history, and especially the history in our own country. There's several historical events, several days that shook the world. The first one I can think of is April 19th, 1775, when 70 Massachusetts men and men, they came face to face with the British Navy SEALs, and all of a sudden an unordered shot rang out. We don't know who shot it, but it was called the shot that heard around the world, and right then and there the American Revolution was underway, and guess what? That day changed everything. The second day, December 7th, 1941, Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. They also bombed Wake Island and Guam and Malum, Thailand, Shanghai, Midway, forcing the United States to enter into the Second World War. And that also was a turning point in our nation's history. And then we have 9/11. Two planes flew into the World Trade Center. That day, too, changed the way everything wouldn't be the same after that day. But this morning, I'm going to ask each and every one of you to travel back with me through the Word of God to 2,000 years ago to a day that's far more significant. A day that literally changed everything. A day that's going to reveal to us the truth about life, the truth about death, and the truth about eternity. Are y'all ready? If you're able and willing, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? We're going to be in Matthew 28. We're going to read 1 through 10. Jesus is risen. Now, after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, and for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Now come and see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen and is going ahead of you toward into Galilee. And there you will see him. And now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Then suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go into Galilee. There they will see me." You may be seated. Will y'all please join your hearts with me, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, here we are again, Lord, it's God. And I'm praying on behalf of Crossbridge Baptist Church, and we're coming to you in community prayer with spirits of gratitude. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of salvation through your Son. We thank you for the blood, Lord, that washed away our sin. We thank you for the power of the resurrection, Lord, that bestows upon us eternal life. We thank you for your living spirit, Lord, that resides inside of us. Father, we thank you for Jesus' victory over death. We thank you for Jesus' victory over sin. And Lord, I pray right now that your spirit will have his way in here, that there will be anointing on this, Father, that you'll move me out of the way. That'll be your favorite tool in your toolbox, Father, through the preaching of your word, Lord. I pray most of all, Father, for the lost, anybody who's lost here, that they'll be saved. I pray for your people to be edified, but mostly, Lord, we pray that the name of Jesus will be glorified. And we pray all this in the only name that salvation is, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And all the Christians said, amen, amen, amen. Y'all better pull a Jeff. We fixing to eat. So we're going to travel back 2,000 years. But we're going to see it through the eyes of Mary Magdalene. Okay? All right. Now for Mary, Friday was the day that her world fell apart. You know what Friday was? It's crucifixion. She had followed Jesus since the early days of his ministry. Her life had been miserable and evil until she met Jesus. He had cast the 7 demons from her. For the first time ever, she knew freedom. She knew happiness. And now, along with several other women, she had been ministering to Jesus as Jesus ministered to so many others. She had seen him heal the sick. She had seen him give sight to the blind. She had even seen Jesus raise the dead. You see, she believed in Jesus. She believed Jesus was the Messiah. That he was powerful yet humble. And at the same time, that he was both strong and compassionate. For 3 years, she followed Jesus. She heard through the disciples. She heard how he'd been arrested at the hands of the Jewish authorities. It was a mockery of justice. The leaders of Israel wanted him dead. They were afraid of him, you see. They were jealous of him. They'd been trying for years to have him arrested so they could what? They could kill him. And they succeeded. Friday's a blur to her. Can you see her? It's a bad dream she can't wake up from. They had beaten him. He was unrecognizable. She had fought along with the crowd as they forced him to carry his own cross. That cross, a Roman torture rack where he was betrayed and tortured. All the way up to the executioner's heel that we call Calvary. He was so weak from all the blood loss that they had to pull a man out of the crowd to help carry it for him all the way. And at his crucifixion, there were only a few women left, for everybody had abandoned him. And Apostle John, the rest of the disciples are all hiding. And as they nailed him to the cross with each blow of the hammer, she wanted to scream inside. Don't you know this man's innocent? Don't you know he's kind? He's compassionate? He don't deserve this. But even that wasn't enough for him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They taunted him. Come on down at that cross if you are the Son of Man. You saved others that you saved yourself. And then the sky grew dark. For 3 hours in the middle of the day, it was pitch black. And Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he died. And the Bible says that the earth shook and the rock split open. Mary Magdalene wept. She sat outside the tomb while Nicodemus and Joseph placed his body inside the tomb. She watched as the Romans rolled a huge stone in front of the entrance and then sealed it with a stamp. You see, Friday changed everything for Mary Magdalene. Her dreams were lost. Her hopes shattered. And her faith shaken. They awoke early this Sunday morning. They had one last opportunity to go minister to Jesus' body. But Mary was afraid. She's afraid the guards wouldn't roll the tomb back so they could get to his body to anoint it. And as they approached the tomb, a great earthquake shook the earth where they were stumbling around like this. They ran to the place where Jesus was entombed, and she stopped dead in her tracks across the bridge. The stone had been rolled in front of the entrance, was rolled back, and now a man sat on top of it. But not a man, an angel. And she knew it at once. He was as bright as light, and his clothes were whiter than anything she had ever seen. And when he spoke to Mary, she could hardly breathe. What are you doing seeking the living amongst the dead? She said, he said, Jesus is alive. Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't ever fear again, because he is alive. Cross Bridge. She could see into the tomb. His grave clothes were there, but he was gone. She turned and saw a man, and one of the gospels says he was a gardener. At least she thought. And she said, sir, where are they taking him? And he said, Mary. And she knew at once that it was Jesus. She knew that voice. And he said, go, Mary. You go tell my disciples I'm alive. And all of her depression fell away. The fear fell away. Y'all, she was overwhelmed with wonder and awe. Now, she had to fear the Lord. But, son, she kicked it in gear. Woo! And she was skipping going looking for them disciples. You see, that Sunday morning, that resurrection Sunday, that's the day that changed everything. Nothing would ever be the same again, Cross Bridge. How could it be? Because Jesus is alive. So she ran to tell the disciples. Resurrection Sunday changed everything. For Mary Magdalene and the disciples, the world would never be the same. In fact, 120 people, none of them wealthy, none of them talented, none of them powerful, none of them would literally go head to head with the Roman Empire and turn the Roman Empire from downside up to right side up. I mean, you're literally a bunch of ragtag fishermen and tax collectors would go face to face with the kings and the religious leaders of the day, filled with the Spirit of God, and they would preach the gospel, and they would rather die than deny the resurrected Jesus. Amen. This is Christianity, everybody. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. And because of what happened on that Sunday at the tomb, the world history forever was altered. Listen, 2,000 years ago later, here we are still preaching Jesus, still singing about Jesus. Cross Bridge Baptist Church, it's all real. We ain't playing make-believe. God is real, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, I wanted to preach that at the sermon, but there's no anointing to it. He kept saying, Scott, you preached on discipleship and sanctification. You preached on the crucifixion, the reality of sin and forgiveness. So what else do we need to preach, Uncle? What's essential to the Christian faith? That God raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection. We only don't preach on it except for on Easter. It's this powerful. It's the day that changed everything. It seems kind of like a big claim, doesn't it? But when we really study our Bible, when we're really reading our Bible, we're going to start to understand that everything flows out of Jesus' resurrection. We're not being exaggerated saying that it is the biggest deal. It is the most important thing that changes everything. So I got some simple truths from the scripture today, this morning. Simple truths on why it is the most important day of all days. And number one, because of what the resurrection son, what the resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us about Jesus. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read chapter 1, 1 through 6. I'm going to be short on time, so I'm probably going to be read quick. Romans 1, you can follow me. Romans 1, 1. And the Bible reads, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Why is it the most important day? Because it's the absolute supreme demonstration of proof that Jesus is who he says he was. Number one, that's the greatest evidence we got. A lot of people try to say that he was just a great man or only a man or a great teacher. No, he's the Son of God. He rose from the dead. The second simple truth, why it's the most important day ever, the most important day is because we can be free and forgiven of sin. Free and forgiven of sin. I wish y'all could put, if y'all could put back there, if y'all could put Romans 4:25 up on the screen, this is a powerful verse. That we can be free and forgiven of sin. Because at the heart of saving faith in Jesus Christ, Cross Bridge, is believing that God raised him from the dead. Now, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he was vindicating Jesus. He was demonstrating to the world that this man was innocent of the charges and death had no hold on him. Romans 4:25, you got this verse right here. It's like the doorway of salvation. We know all doors swing on two hinges, right? The first part of that verse goes, he was delivered over to death for our sins. Right? He died for our sins. The second part was that he was raised to life for our justification. There ain't no salvation if he don't come back, if he ain't raised from the dead. You got to believe one, you got to believe both. They got to be close to your heart. He was delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification. I would encourage you to underline that in your Bible. That's the Bible verse you want to be remembering, one you want to be putting close to your heart. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we who are joined with him, listen, because he rose from the dead, we who are joined with him, we are joined with him by faith. We are justified. We are found not guilty in the high courts of God. It's just as though we never sinned. Amen? Amen. Now listen here, guys. If I don't hear no amen, I'm going to think I'm off in your pea patch. I'm just going to start stomping around. Okay? If I start getting some amens and y'all start including, y'all open your heart, engaging, then I'll say, okay, they're getting it. I'll back up and move to the next point. We'd be here all day. Okay? This is the gospel. We got a lot to be excited about. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I told y'all we're going to learn a lot about life, death, and eternity. Let's look at that third one. Another reason why this day is the most important day, because of what the resurrection teaches us about life. Go back to our scripture, Matthew. Look at verse 5. What does an angel say to the women? Matthew 28, verse 5. The angel says, do not be afraid. Crossbridge Baptist Church, do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He has risen just as he said. The angel says, what was it again? What did the angel say? Do not be afraid. Fear not, he said. He's not here, for he is risen. Now that is just what we need to hear every single day, not just Easter Sunday, isn't it? Every single day I want to hear, hey, fear not, Scott. He's alive. He's on the throne, right? I think that's important. And the prophet Isaiah in chapter 35:4, the Lord our God, the one true God, the most high God, speaks to Isaiah and he says this. You say to them, the remnant, he says, you say to them with a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come and save you. You know what that's saying? We say, do not be afraid. The problem of modern day Christianity is we're always thinking we just got to survive, right? We just got to survive this life. That's not life as a Christian. We're not just hanging on for dear life, are we? Not according to the Bible. We're called to persevere, y'all. You know what biblical perseverance is? I've been saying this every one of my sermons. You know what it is? It's that you refuse to believe that your faith in Jesus Christ can be conquered. You stand your ground. You don't double mind. You stand true. I believe. I'm loyal to the belief that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive. We don't persevere. We stand strong. Christians, backbones. Fear not. What was it? Fear not. So what was it about that day? About the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, we live our lives in a world filled with uncertainty, right? Fear. The economy, huh? This is going crazy. What about what's going on overseas? Huh? Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Hamas, Israel, Iran, now United States and Iran, right? We live in a world with uncertainty. We worry about our children. We worry about our children's children. Then we worry about our parents. We worry about our health. I'm going to tell you this morning, though, we need answers here in the United States, and we don't need to listen to no TV evangelists talking about you can sow a seed. What we need right here, we don't need nobody giving us a motivation. We don't need no personal coach. What we need in our life is a Savior who can rock the foundations of the earth, who can make the rock split open, and who can raise from the dead. That's what we need. We hold it close to our hearts because we believe everything we need in life to have to live life more abundantly we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you happy this morning? Or are you stuck in religion? There's a big difference. If you feel like you have to go to church or you have to serve in ministry or you have to be nice to this person, you got to go do something. I'm going to tell you right now, being nice is manipulation anyhow. That's not even, that word's not even in the Bible. Now, being kind, oh, yeah. But if you get to go be kind to the unkind, if you get to go be a friend to the unfriendly, huh? If you get to go to church, you get to go to remember what it is you believe, you get to go encourage like-minded believers and lift each other up, if you get to be a helping hand, oh, you might just have that grace of Jesus Christ in you. But you got to transform your mind. Use the resurrection of Jesus Christ because he is alive. He'll come into your life and give you the power and equip you with everything you need to live a life you never could live before. You got to believe. The fourth reason from the Bible that this day is the most important day. What it tells us about death. If it tells us about life that we are to fear not, what does it tell us about death? It tells that Jesus defeated death, does it not? So we ain't got nothing to fear. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. Jesus defeated death, so we don't have to fear it. I'll pick up in 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will become true. Oh, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, oh, death is your victory? Where, oh, death is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. We walk in victory. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, here it is again. Stand firm. That's that perseverance. Stand firm in your convictions about Jesus. Be loyal to your belief. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So what does it tell us about death? Death's defeated. It's defeated. We should go through our lives often considering the shortness of our life, right? But not live in fear of death. But we need to consider the shortness of our life. We need to always side-eye the world. Be aware of it's over there, right? Because all of these different voices trying to get the influence of our actions. So we side-eye it. We even stiff-arm it. And we fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on the pioneer and perfecter of our faith for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. And he scorned its shame with the resurrection off of it and stomped the head of the snake as he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the throne of God, defeating all the evil forces that fight against us. We walk in victory. Death, where's your sting? Where's your sting, death? You ain't scaring us. We are Christians. People say, I don't like that word Christian. I know what you're talking about. It's in the Bible. I call myself Christian all day. Born again Christian. Resurrection, y'all. We believe as Christians, we believe that since Christ has risen from the dead, then we too shall rise. Death shall not defeat us. To those who repent of their sins and turn to Christ Jesus in faith. Listen, there is everlasting life. There is everlasting life. What an impact that must have had on Mary Magdalene and the disciples. Listen, right before, during the crucifixion, they're all hiding, man. They're hiding. But after the resurrection of Jesus, they're bold, brave, and unafraid. I'm telling you, they'd rather lose their head than deny the resurrection of Christ. The gospel ministry goes out. Everybody being bold, brave, and unafraid. They're preaching the gospel. People are being saved. The Holy Spirit's moving. And all we got to do is walk in obedience. By faith, the size of a mustard seed. Just take a little step. Just keep moving forward. It's all real, y'all. It's all real. One of my favorite books in the Bible, 2 Peter. I want to give y'all Peter's testimony. Remember, he's hiding. I'm getting ready to close. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 10. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10. Now, 2 Peter, I need y'all to understand something. Peter's about to be executed, okay? And this is his last one test he's about to write. Now, we need to understand something. Y'all remember in Acts when Peter's in the prison and all the disciples get together all praying, the angel busts all the doors open, he walks out, right? Keep that in mind as he's writing this letter. When he writes this letter, if it had been me, that's where I've been praying. Hey, man, get the guys together. Get me out of here, right? That's not what he does. Listen to what he says in his last will and testament. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, Christians, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's him doing this. Good job, guys. Good job. So, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Listen, this is my favorite part. For we do not follow clever devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my son who I am well pleased." And we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain. Look at the boldness of Peter now after the resurrection of Jesus. This is the same boldness we are to have as we go out through life. As we advance the kingdom of God. Which brings me to my last point, why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important day in history. What does it tell us about our purpose, y'all. Back to my scripture. Verse 8, so she hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. What does this tell us about our purpose, about the Jesus being resurrected? What did they do? What did she do? The women. They ran to give the disciples the word. Huh? He's alive. Why would you reckon they were in such a hurry? First of all, y'all, they had to tell somebody. They had to tell somebody it was all real. Have you ever been part of something so exciting, something so powerful that you just could not shut it in? This is the gospel. The gospel is the second person of the Godhead. Jesus, the Son of God, stepped off his throne in heaven, right? Humbled himself, descended down to earth to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life by way of our salvation, no doubt. To willfully go to the cross as a pure and blameless sacrifice for the atonement of the sins of humanity. And then in his grace offers forgiveness of those same sins to all who repent and believe in him. That he is the Son of God. Amen. And in doing so, we are reconciled back with our Creator, the Father. We have peace with God. Huh? We are ushered in into the family of God. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, church. This is the gospel. We have a purpose because of the resurrection. Listen, they did what they were told, the ladies did. The angel told them to go and tell the disciples, and later Jesus told the disciples to go and tell others. And right now, this morning, the Holy Spirit is telling us to tell our neighbors. Listen, there's people here in Webster Parish that you may be the only person they ever even hear the gospel. Webster County, parish back home. This may be the only, they may be the only people they'll ever hear the gospel. That's going to be from you. Everybody in here has an individual that nobody can contact or touch but you. But you. How do I do it? You go share your testimony. You got to have one to share one. I was blind, now I see. That's pretty easy. I was dead, now I'm alive. Pretty easy. Can I tell you about Jesus? It's all real. Because it's all real. But we got people in our lives, family, strangers, people at the gas station, anybody and everybody. When you got the Holy Spirit in you, we got to be telling people about Jesus. And he'll give you the grace to do it. He wants your obedience. This is all about the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's our purpose in life. That's why we're here. We are not here, Crossbridge Baptist Church, to make ourselves happy, to make ourselves as comfortable as we can. We are not left on this earth so that we can live in big, nice homes, drive big, fancy cars, or have big bank accounts. Now listen, I'm going to say something. I'm not against any of those things, and neither is God, okay? But we are here for much more than that. I'm talking about purpose. We are to tell others that Jesus is what? Alive. Let's hear it. Alive. Who's alive? Who's Lord? Jesus. Woo! They're getting it, Lord. Who reigns? Jesus. That way they can have the forgiveness of sins. That way they can have eternal life. There's nothing more important. Nothing more important. I thank y'all for letting me have the opportunity to speak. And I pray that the Holy Spirit convicts each and every one of you to share your faith. Tell somebody today that Jesus is alive. Then tell somebody tomorrow. Then tell somebody the next day. Tell somebody the next day. And I'm going to ask them to play. And we're going to have a moment of invitation. So if you don't know the Lord, please come. Let's get that salvation right. Let's get that sealed. But if you need to come up, you have anything you want to repent of, come up here and talk to Pastor Jeff. Or come up here and just pray and talk to the Lord. Let somebody walk you through it. You know, don't stay in bondage. Or just come forward and let's pray about whatever you got going on. But let's this right here is an altar. This ain't a stage. This is built out of the same wood that hung our Savior. This is an altar, y'all. When's the last time you've been on your knees, huh? It's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. Thanking him. Praying for that neighbor. So at this time, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff to come up here with me.
Thank you, bro.
And as they play, I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to ask that you be bold, brave, and unafraid, and don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of being transparent. Don't be ashamed of coming forward and getting some prayers, getting right with God, getting saved, surrendering to ministry. Huh? It's all about Jesus, because he's alive. We cross bridge. Will y'all please join me in prayer? Holy Father, we come before your throne right now again, Lord, so thankful. So thankful that you use a bunch of sinners like us, that you would the honor of having our names written in the Lamb's Book alive. Woo! Thank you for the grace of Jesus. Father, I pray that we can be bold and brave and be the Christians we're called to be and take steps of faith and walk in obedience, Lord, to share the good news that Jesus is alive. Father, I know that you're going to have to move a mighty way in each and every soul here, and I'm so proud of you, what you're doing in all these people's lives. I'm so thankful for this church, that they reach out and get to the hard to reach, being kind to the unkind, Lord. Father, I pray that you have your way in this place. Let them not be scared, Lord. There's no cowards in heaven. Let them step up, step out, Father, and we'll give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, the King of Kings, all the Christians said, amen. Amen.